WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Tomorrow, Californians will be voting on an initiative that could end bilingual education in the state. If passed, all students with limited English proficiency will be put into a one-year English immersion program, then moved into the regular English language classrooms. The measure is called English for the Children, but is more often referred to as the UNS initiative, after Silicon Valley millionaire Ron UNS, who spearheaded and financed it. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts about bilingual education and the teaching of English.
There's a story that my old linguistics professor Robert Austerlitz liked to tell about the great Russian linguist Roman Jakobson. As a student, Austerlitz was attending a seminar that Jakobson was teaching in New York just after he came to America during the war. Jakobson liked to teach each session in a different language, one day in French, the next in German, the next in English, and so on. One day he began, "So, in which language shall speaking today? Ah, yes, have not yet speak Russian." And he began his lecture. Austerlitz raised his hand timidly and said, "Excuse me, Professor Jakobson, but I don't know Russian." Jakobson took on a pained expression and said, "Austerlitz, you are linguist, no? We will speak Russian. Try to follow." You could think of this as the tough love approach to language learning. It seems to be gaining popularity in recent years. Right now, for example, there's a controversy here in California over the academic proficiency test that the legislature has mandated for all students in order to evaluate teachers and administrators. This is part of a national trend, of course, but the California statute requires that the test be given exclusively in English. It's an odd requirement, particularly in a state where more than a quarter of public school students have limited English proficiency. You're not going to learn a lot about kids' mathematical skills if you give them word problems in a language they don't understand. And if scores improve over time, you're not going to be sure who to give raises to, the math teachers or the English teachers. The UNS initiative on the ballot is just another example of the same mentality. It has a certain common sense appeal. If we want the kids to learn English, let's get them into English-only classrooms as soon as possible. But few of the linguists and educators who've worked on the problem think it's a very good idea. For one thing, those immersion programs that the measure requires haven't actually been tried, and nobody in the field believes that a single year will be enough to bring students to the kind of English fluency that they need in order to do their schoolwork. As for bilingual education, it's true it isn't a panacea, and in any case, it currently reaches only about 30% of limited English students, which is one reason it's a little silly for opponents of bilingual programs to blame them for high Hispanic dropout rates. But for all its problems, the research shows that it's been an overall success. It may not be intuitive, giving kids all that instruction in their native language while you're teaching them in English, but the idea is really pretty simple. You make the transition to a new language most effectively when the subject matter is familiar to you. It's a lesson I learned many years ago when I was hanging around Rome and trying to learn Italian by going to movies every day. I discovered that I did a lot better watching Casablanca dubbed in Italian than I did with Pasolini. It helps if you know what's coming. Oh yeah, this is where he says that they'll always have Paris. And geography tests and math word problems are really no different. That's why the transition is so much easier for middle-class kids from Europe and Asia. They've already wrestled in their own languages with those goofy problems where people try to figure out how long it takes to fill up a swimming pool with a drain open. But it's a different matter for kids who have never seen word problems, or for that matter, a swimming pool. They do better when they can learn the subject matter in their own language while they're learning English. And that's what has educators worried about the immersion approach, the fear that you'll dump them in and they'll never resurface. But that's a hard point to make, particularly with American voters who tend to have a shaky conception of what's involved in learning a language. This is a country, after all, where you can make a living selling sets of cassette tapes that promise to teach you to speak French like a diplomat in just 30 days. If the polls are any indication, voters will be swept away by the common sense appeal of the initiative. But as another famous linguist named Leonard Bloomfield once observed, most of what passes for common sense about language is really just the accretion of a couple of hundred years of medieval lore. That's the problem with asking voters to decide on questions of educational method. All they can give you back is the sense they were born with. We'll speak English. Try to follow.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.